You about ready? Because I'm about ready. This is Marty Ford from the beautiful basement of downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, coming to you live on bbsradio.com. The name of the show is You About Ready, and I am Marty Ford, and you are on BBS Radio with me, bbsradio.com. Should you care to call into the station or listen to the show and even research some of my previous shows in the past 3 or 4 weeks, you can go to the archive section at bbsradio.com and hear some good stuff from the past that we might relive a little bit of tonight to bring us up to date and to give us a reminder. Because sometimes in life, if we're not reminded every once in a while, we tend to not forget, but it tends to lose priority in our life. And every day you have to have a little bit of something to look forward to, because you're living in the present. And you should be planning for your future. And that's what we're trying to on this radio show, with my radio show. And we want to empower you. Empowerment. Taking care of yourself. Doing for yourself. Making decisions. Thinking. Critical thinking, which we'll get to in a minute. Because when you become empowered, you'd be surprised how much you can accomplish. More than you ever thought possible. And certainly more than everyone in your life ever thought possible, too. Because many of us are burdened with the history of being told that we're no good or we're not going to be anything and blah, 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 blah. And for the most part, that form of bullying keeps us down and suppressed and away from going towards and pursuing our goals, dreams, ambitions, and aspirations. We get stuck in a rut, and the only one who's going to pull yourself out of that rut is you. Let the bullies bellow as they will, because that's all they do. And they put you in fear and intimidation, knowing all along that they, the bully, are the weakest ones. And it's sad to say that I've read a few things recently in the past year or two, some as recent as yesterday, about bullying and negative results and the loss of life of young people, college kids, middle school kid, and they go through all the routine and on the news and update you and everything, but they never mention the consequences for those involved, or they rarely do. And that's the sad part. And that means the bullies are getting away with it. And we can't allow that. We have to protect ourselves, insulate ourselves, and be stronger than the bullies who are out there trying to take it from us. With that in mind, I am going to say, I am a one of a kind. I'm quite a find. Take a break from the daily grind and unwind. Critically think, and you'll find ways out of your single, double, or multiple bind. Use lemon juice and some rind. Add zest to your life. Rid yourself of your strife. You know, I love my family, kids, and wife. And that is my rap battle for the night. And I'm open to battling. I'm the kind of battler. And I'll tell you straight up, when I'm in the mode, back in the day, I made Biggie small. Took him right down from big to small. My battling was so good. But as you know, I mentioned before, sometimes I don't know how to control all my soul. And that's a good thing, right? Because it keeps you active, keeps your mind working, keeps you young in heart, young in spirit. Forget the numbers. That's all they are in numbers. Manage them, and you will manage yourself a good life. This week, we're going to give you a little bit of a brain buster to get you started in some critical thinking. We've had a few in the past, and I think they're pretty good just to get you going after a little bit of silliness. And let's add a little bit more silliness to the event tonight. So there's a farmer who has 17 sheep. All but 9 die. How many sheep does he have left? Think about it for a while, and we'll get back to it at the end of the show, if I remember. One thing about growing old, sometimes it doesn't always click when you want it to click, and that's why we write things down. So the farmer has 17 sheep, and all but 9 die. How many sheep does the farmer have left? Question I have for tonight, before we get into anything more sensitive and delicate and interesting and maybe humorous, is when did the word misspoke or misspoken, when did that become in vogue, and when did that take the place of the actual word, the synonym of lying? Leadership has been quoted on TV many times, in the news that is, saying they misspoke about whatever it is they're involved with. Right? Usually it involves money of some kind. Oh, I misspoke. I was misquoted. Well, maybe you were just lying. Let's face up to it. All right? A lie is a lie. Call it like it is. Let's not sugarcoat it. I think the word misspoke has taken form with such words as pre-owned. We used to buy used cars. I can't afford a new car. Let me go look for a good used car. Well, they're not used anymore. They're pre-owned. And somehow it softens the value or the quality and gives you a better impression that the car, there's nothing wrong with the car. Even though you do all your research and get paperwork and documentation, you're still subject to buying a car that was flooded out in Katrina, as is probably happening today, and also in any of the storms that ravish our great country. So pre-owned, so misspoke goes along with pre-owned, and it also is related to a vintage clothing, right? Vintage clothing. It means you can buy old clothes previously worn. You don't know by whom and what they left behind in those clothes. Maybe washed, maybe not, but they were once in style, and maybe they're making a comeback, and instead of buying brand new at the stores, you look in these thrift shops or secondhand stores, consignment shops, whatever they're called, and you buy vintage clothes, maybe some bell-bottom flare pants, one of those silk shirts with the collar where you can land a B-52 on it. It's so big. A polyester leisure suit with a waistcoat, right? Leisure suits. Remember those with the double-breasted front? Those are now vintage clothing. Sometimes you see kids wearing stuff like that. The tie-dye shirts, which are really never going out of style, but they're called vintage. So misspoke is the word of of our modern time to soften the word lie. To take someone of position, of power, of influence, of so-called credibility, of education, maybe of wealth, and they lie, they get caught out there, but they misspoke. I think it's time to start cleaning up all these euphemisms. We replace the reality, the real word of lying. Let's call it like it is, tell it like it is, and speak the truth. Let's not hide behind more misspoken words, right? And buy a used car and get some used clothes, usually for a Halloween costume when you're desperate to look like somebody from the past and you don't want to be dressing like a Me Too person, wearing a costume. You want to make your own, which is good. All right, so much for language and semantics and the misuse of some of our words. Misuse, misspoke. We will not misspeak here. We will tell the truth, and we will not have a pre-owned car. We will drive a used car. We have a couple of them in our family. Actually, we do go to garage sales. When our kids were young, my wife would take $10. I would stay home with the kids and play and whatever we're going to do with them and watch cartoons and all the other good things. And she would go out and come home with a carload of stuff from garage sales with $5 change. Once we unloaded it and put it in the basement where the kids could actually play and have others come over and play and have fun and not make everything educational and stressful, they had a good time. And I tallied it up one time. One week my wife came home, spent about $5 or $7, loaded the basement, all kinds of play toys for boys and girls. And if it was all new, it would have been up to $400 or $500 at the name brand stores. And besides, when the kids play with it, if they broke it, who cared, right? And chances are they were just happy playing with pots and pans in the kitchen, sitting on the floor, making music, which is good. I want to talk about the difference between men and women. And it's not what you're thinking, because that's the obvious. We want to go a bit more into the sublime, maybe the ridiculous or silly. But the reality, this happened. And, of course, as we know, listening to this show on bbsradio.com called You Bout Ready, are you about ready for this? The difference between men and women. If two women meet at the bus stop on their way to work, let's say, during the week, and the bus is a few minutes late, or maybe a few minutes more than late, 10, 15 minutes late for whatever reason, the women will start to talk, crossing their arms in front of their chest, clutching their bags in defensive position for protection, which is good, but they'll start to talk. And within those 10, 15, or 20 minutes, maybe even continuing your conversation while in the bus, remember you want to get in the bus, not on the bus, and you want to get in the airplane, not on the airplane. Thank you very much, George Carlin. We love you and we miss you. They'll start talking, and before you know, within those that short time, they'll know everything about each other, head to toe, upside down, inside out, when the water broke, when the cycle comes, and what the moods are in, the boyfriends or the husbands or the family, they'll know it all. They'll become good friends. Women get there. Put the same situation with two men, and when they're not having their nose in the newspaper or one of those weekly business magazines to make them look important. By the way, when I was flying around the country on business, all the men were reading Newsweek, Time, and U.S. News and World Report. I was reading Mad Magazine. Thank you very much. Great magazine. Anyway, two men will be reading the paper, and the only thing they'll say to each other is, hey, did you see the game last night? How about those guys? Were they good? And that's it. Men don't get there, and women do. They go to the heart, to the belly of the beast, to the soul, and it's great. If more men did that, maybe they'd be better off. Maybe there'd be less confrontational situations between male and female, or whoever whatever the relationship is, right? Maybe there'd be less of it because you'd be more open and let yourself be known. When you're afraid to be known, you can't let yourself be known. You won't let yourself be known to any others, and eventually you'll be alone. So anyway, as an example, illustration of this point about that when our kids were born, my wife had postcard announcements made up. Welcome to the family, baby, you know, and the height, the weight, the hair color, the eye color, color, maybe some balloons on there, a picture of a cow or a dog, something. And she mailed them out to family, some friends, neighbors, coworkers, etc. She came to me and she said, listen, I got about 10 or 12 left over. You want to send them to the guys you've been playing basketball with twice a week for 5 years? I said, send them out. I don't even know their names. Oh, yeah, he drives a pickup truck. He's a plumber. Don't pass him the ball. You'll never see it. We call him the abyss. And men don't get there. I've been playing ball with the same guys for almost 25 years. In fact, I just got back tonight. I have to rearrange my schedule because we used to play Wednesday and Thursday nights, but now they switched it for whatever reason to Tuesday and Thursday, and I have to rush through my Tuesday game to get to the radio so I can talk to you folks out there in BBS Radio land, BBSRadio.com land, because I don't want to miss a show. Maybe we can reschedule something so I don't have to rush around. But it's good to be here. But anyway, I didn't know their names, let alone their addresses or even where they lived. And even today, many years later, a couple of the guys are still around playing, even at our age, and we just don't get there. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about the lack of facilities at the playground. We need new lights. We need a water fountain, blah, blah, blah. We need a bathroom, even though some guys use a tree. I won't say that too loud. But we don't get to the belly of the beast, and we rarely do unless tragically, there's a crisis situation where we're almost forced to do it to save ourselves and our family and our future. So that's the big difference between men and women, as I see it. And it's a simple explanation. It has a lot of meaning, impact, and power, and it goes well beyond the physiological, the biological, and the physical. It gets into the heart, and that's where you want to get with people in your life. You want to get to their heart. If you can get through their eyes, you can reach their heart, you can get to their soul, you can make a friend, and you can have a good life. The difference between men and women, very simply explained tonight. Because remember, as much as empowerment is our focal point, we like to do things in a simple manner. And speaking of a simple manner, a week or so ago I talked about weight loss, how much it's needed, because we're just too darn big out there. And just get away from the TV and out of the kitchen. And don't let that be a role model, what they put on TV, for you to see that this is really good. Yes, the food is good, but the portions are going to make you look like a blimp. And your clothes are going to stretch out. And so is your body. And you're going to be miserable. And when you're not feeling good about yourself, what happens? You go into a funk, down, down, down. You have to feel good about yourself. Skip a meal once in a while. I mentioned the fact that you should go to the doctor, get a physical, tell the doctor you want to start a weight loss management and control regimen, and keep it simple. Breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, dinner like a pauper. Go to bed hungry, your stomach will shrink. Tomorrow you'll wake up and your pants will be a little looser. You'll feel good about yourself. Throw away the scale. Remember, those numbers make you crazy when you constantly know about them. It's like people who watch the stock market every day, watching every nickel up and down. Makes them crazy. Buy it, invest in it. Put your at-risk money out there and let it go and trust in someone to help manage it for you, because if you do it for yourself, you're not going to do as well as someone who's professional. After all, you won't go to your barber or hairdresser to attend to your dental work. So deal with professional people. It pays off in the long run. So we want to get fit. We want to get out 30 minutes a day and walk maybe twice a day in the morning. Get out in the weather, find a safe place, go to your local high school, walk around the track four times. That's a mile, because usually tracks are 400 or 440 yards for the track team to run the quarter mile. And get back and do it again at night before you have supper, before you have your apple or a fruit cup or a cup of tea, right, for supper, or some nuts and raisins, something like. Go to bed hungry, you'll feel better in the morning. And the more success you have, guess what? The better you feel about yourself. And the best thing about it is, all the money you're saving on food, you can spend on a new wardrobe. And who likes shopping? Personally, I don't, but I know a lot of people who do. I'm very content with what I have. If it's on sale and I think I like it, maybe I'll buy it. But the kids come first, as does my wife. There's one great exercise you can do. And in 5 minutes, you'll feel like you've run a marathon and climbed a mountain and lifted a bus. It's called a step test. And I am not endorsing it. I am suggesting it if you are physically fit and you have proper footwear, clothing, permission from your doctor, or making your doctor aware that you're engaging in some form of weight loss management control. And so the step test is very simple. You get a car, a bridge chair, they used to call it. You have a car table, and you have the four chairs around it, a good solid chair, and you place it up against the wall with the seat facing out. So the back of the chair is up against the wall. You get at least one, maybe two people to spot you on either side of you, either hold on to a shoulder or you hold on to their shoulder, or not, if you need it or not, depending on how you do. And all you do is stand in front of the chair and step up with your left foot and step up with your right foot. Then you step down with your left foot, and then you step down with your right foot. And you do that for 5 minutes, maybe not at the first few times you do it. Maybe you start with 2 or 3 minutes and just watch the sweat come out of your pores. Watch your T-shirt get soaked. Feel your heart rate go up. Maybe you want to take your pulse before you start at rest and then take it again after 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes of that. I don't recommend. I could never do more than 5 minutes because I was done. It was like in college, we had to take a phys ed class, and one of them was wrestling. Now, if you don't think wrestling is an intense sport, we had to do a 30-second, a minute, and a minute and a half session of wrestling. That's 3 minutes. After the first time I did it, after 3 minutes, the coach had to pick me up with a spatula or a shovel. I was just completely wiped out and drained, soaked through and tired. So wrestling is very intense. I don't recommend that unless you're a wrestler, especially in school and so forth. But a step test, and you can step up with the left foot, step up with the right foot, step down with the left foot, step down with the right foot for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Build yourself up to as much as you can endure and keep going. It's like push-ups. If you try to do 50 push-ups right now, you probably couldn't. But you might be able to do 3. And tomorrow you can do 3 more. And by the end of the week, maybe you're doing 5, 7, or 10. So you build yourself up to the goal, ultimate goal, of 5 minutes with the step test on nothing more than a card table chair. A card, that doesn't make sense. A chair that you use, usually the card table. Don't use a kitchen chair or a dining room chair or your favorite chair that moves. Get a stationary chair that is strong and secure and safe, and get someone to be a spotter for you. 5 minutes, you'll be done. And then go take a walk for another 15 minutes to wind down. And then take your pulse at the end of the session and after a few minutes of rest and see where you're going. If you are so inclined and that desirous of knowing every beat of your heart, you'll feel it. It'll be coming through. It's a great workout, absolutely great workout. So we've had the difference between men and women, simply explained, and we've had some weight loss management and control procedures. Very easy. A step test takes a few minutes out of your day, and once you get going, hey, maybe you're going to do it in the morning before work, and when you get home from work, before dinner or before you go to bed, take a nice hot shower too, and you'll feel good. Maybe a cup of tea, decaf if you will, so it doesn't keep you up at night unless you're prone to going to sleep with caffeine in you. I'm not. I read an article the other day about the bewilderment of a couple of cities across the country that couldn't figure out why the crime rate was going up. Geez, why is there more, almost capital-type crime? Robberies and burglaries and, God forbid, murders and all the other heinous things out there. And they did a study, actually spent money to bring experts in, and they said, well, you know, 2 years ago, you laid off half of your police force. And subsequently, there was a spike in all the crime throughout the town in all categories. And that was the conclusion, right? And they actually spent taxpayer money on that kind of thing to come to that realization that, hey, if you do one thing, it's going to affect something else down the line. And, you know, if you're inclined, if you're one of those folks out there who are living the negative lifestyle of and caught up in the crime scene, you can't wait to go to a town that lays off all their police. It makes them weak. You put down your defense. How would a boxer do if he put down his defense or her defense? You know, your arms are in front of your face and chin and neck in order to protect you. And you let it down, your opponent comes in and clobbers you, you're down and out, right? If a team in sports doesn't build defense, they don't win. You can outscore your opponents so often, but eventually your defense is going to have to stop somebody from scoring if you're going to be successful in the long haul. People complain about taxes. I don't want to pay my tax. Where is it going? Yeah, I know. A lot of it is drifted away from where it's intended use. But the reality is the money goes to the military. The money goes to security. The money goes to safety. The money goes for protection. The money goes for defense, right? Defend ourselves, protect ourselves. That's what we do. Because if we don't, we'll be run over, right? We'll be taken over. Be like King of the Hill. When you're a little kid, the kid on top has 50 kids coming after him to get that spot. He can't defend 50 people. Can't even defend 4 or 5, as we had in our neighborhood. And he's going to be overthrown. Well, that's what will happen if we don't, you know, pay our taxes and let that money go to where hopefully our experts in charge guide and direct that money to its highest and best use. Sometimes it doesn't always get there, as in the case of foreign aid to other countries whose people desperately need the basics of food, clothing, shelter, medicine, and we're just first in line to give it away, and then we get disgruntled when we find out it's been hijacked or stolen or used or sold, actually, to for profit by unscrupulous people. So let's put the police back to work where they do their best and not lay them off. Find other ways to cut the budget. Let's cut waste, right? Let's cut fraud. Let's cut corruption. Let's cut the things that are taking the money away from where it's supposed to go. Let's give teachers money. Can you believe teachers are actually out of pocket to buy supplies for their classroom? I'm not talking donuts and cookies, which the kids don't need anyway. I'm talking the basics. Paper, pencils, markers, crayons, whatever it is. Teachers are spending thousands of dollars a year on supplies that should be part of the school budget. Hey, accounting irregularities, misappropriation of funds. Where's that money going? Where is it going, and who's getting it, and what is the school getting in exchange for it? Certainly not goods and services. If teachers have to be out of their pocket, if teachers have to pack up, if a teacher moves from room A to room B and there's no staff to help her, he's got to do it herself or himself and count on maybe some friends or family to pack the boxes and move them. Happens all the time. I heard a story last week. I said, are you kidding me? In a very suburban school district, where there is not an abundance, but there is substantial or sufficient funding for the schools. I couldn't believe it. I was sort of shocked. But in today's world, I'm not shocked about anything. I'm not shocked about anything that happens. I'm bewildered. And I'm not shocked at the fact that whatever happens, we get shoved down our throat 24/7 to make us think that that's the way the whole world really is. And I hope it's not. I hope that all the attention, the 24-hour, 7 days a week news stations, all that they give the attention to these catastrophes and disasters. We had two this week. There was a humongous destructive fire along the New Jersey boardwalk ocean area on the beachfront that completely wiped out one area that was damaged severely and rebuilt after that storm they had last year in New Jersey in October. And that's horrible. But it's in our face and down our throat, and it's on the news right in front of us all day long. And, like, there's more to life than that. The firemen will put out the fire. The people will be attended to. Maybe not today, But the next time, I know it's tragic and horrible, but let's not have constant looking for every nuance, every molecule of information that could be even remotely associated with the condition of that fire, or worse yet, where there's no loss of life there, but in Washington, D.C. the other day, when there was this mass murder that went on, and right away, the reporters were out there on the street, on the scene, telling us that they have no information right now. They don't know what's going on. They have people on the scene in remote areas trying to gather as much information as they can to get it to the public. And as soon as we get something, and they go on and on telling you that they have nothing to tell you. And we still watch it, and they still put it on the air. What the heck is going on? We don't have a need to know that. Here's my message, folks. Get up. First of all, shut everything off. Right? Power down. I know my credo is power up. But power down the unessentials and power up you. Get out of the house. Get up, get out, get going. My G-Verb book. Get up, get out, get going. Do something. Get away from this brainwashing message board that's in front of us all day and all night, and people sit there and watch it. You don't need to hear all these hosts on there poorly modeling for the youth of America by yelling, screaming, and being rude and crude and socially unacceptable, trying to get their point across when three other people are talking at the same time. That is not good modeling. No wonder why nobody has any patience. No wonder why kids in middle school, maybe even elementary school, are taking medicine for ADD or ADDH or other ailments that weren't around a generation ago. We're making them crazy when we should be letting them play. We should have those kids at the park, right? The way it ought to be. Here's my new motto. The way it ought to be. The way it ought to be is let kids play. Unsupervised or minimally supervised. No yelling, screaming, badgering, harassing adults at the park. Let the kids play. Have somebody there if they need a ball, if they need a Band-Aid, whatever it is. If they need to know what time it is, if they need someone to call home, whatever. Have somebody there for that. But certainly don't have an abundance of supervision out there that's unnecessary, because, you know, a little bit of power given to somebody goes a long way, and it takes away from the actual fun that the kids should be having, playing with each other, by themselves, minimum supervision every day. They don't need another computer class or history class or English, anything like that. Get them out. And maybe if you get them out once or twice a day for 15 or 20 minutes to yell, scream, run, kick a ball, climb the swing on the swings, climb the bars, do whatever they're doing, right? Maybe they'd come back, they'd be more attentive in class. They wouldn't be behavior, so-called behavior problems. They wouldn't be rushed to the nurse to get medicine and a phone call home for the parent to come in and says, your child is not behaving. They said something to the teacher without raising their hand, or anything as superfluous as that. It's ridiculous. Let the kids play. Let kids be kids. That's who they are. Get away from the badgering, the harassing, the annoying and frustrating things that we put them through. Stop scheduling every minute of their day, from dance class to tennis class to swim lessons to piano lessons to gymnastics to soccer to basketball to whatever it is. Give them some space to breathe. You take it. You do that when they're away at school. Maybe you read a book, go shopping, go to the store, have lunch with your friends, meet some people at the park, do something, so you have that free time. Why should a kid get out of school and be rushed all over the place to fill his agenda when he or she should be home, maybe doing some homework, having a snack, and getting the heck out of the house, riding their bike, and doing stuff the kids do, just being away from the so-called grown-up world? But we have to take into consideration safety, because by closing down many facilities and institutions, the wackos are out there, and we have to protect our kids from them, because actually when it comes down to it, we don't have the rights. They do, right? They do, the so-called bad people. I was coaching. I was told if we had to go to a website and look at the people who were on the registry, and if any of them showed up at our game or practice, we couldn't do anything about it. The only thing we could do was call the police and let the police handle the situation. I can't remember it ever happening at an official type game, but it did happen once at the park. The police were called, and they took care of it. But why should we have to worry about our kids playing by themselves at the park? They need that space. They need free and open space to play and do all the things that kids should be doing. And instead of like sequestering them, driving them from place to place. I couldn't pronounce that word. Sorry, folks. I'm getting a bit dry. I did play basketball all night, so the sweat is starting to dry and my mouth is starting to dry. But you don't need to know that. It was a good game. I'm hurting. I'm aching. But I got to run in. And as I said before, the guys I play with are kind to the old and feeble, and they let me play even if I don't bring the ball. But I'm still playing right now. You should be playing. Get the heck out of the house. Go join a club, a choir, a dance team, a quilting club, a book club, a bike club, anything. There's millions of things for you to be doing other than watching that flat screen TV badgering and brainwashing you and putting fear into your soul that's making you say, oh my goodness, look at that. Oh my goodness, look at that. And let's get away from all the reality TV, because in reality, it ain't reality. It's staged. It's scripted. It's no different than my love of the world, the WWE, which is the forerunner, the role model for everybody out there. We all know, we think we all know what's going to happen out there while watching wrestling, but sometimes they surprise us. But it is well done, right? And he puts on great shows, and he packs in lots of people, and he makes millions of dollars. Hopefully the wrestlers get it too. But let's get away from all that and go do something yourself. Paint, draw, make music. You all have a gift out there. I'm still searching for mine. Maybe my gift is inspiring you to pursue your gift and talent and dreams and goals and ambitions at whatever age you are, right? Nothing wrong with that. Go do it. There's no limit to it. Heck, make a YouTube video of yourself singing a song. Hey, you never know where it's going to go, right? Someone will see it, put it on in the mainstream media, and you'll go viral. And before you know it, you'll be on all the talk shows that we shouldn't be watching in the first place because they tell us the same thing every day over and over again. And by the way, a traffic report at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning is useless. No one's on the road. Overnight truckers maybe and some night people who work in hotels or police and fire folks and food service people. But there's no traffic jam until 6:30, 7 o'clock. So what are you wasting time with the traffic report at 4 o'clock in the morning? And we don't need to know the weather every 5 minutes, because unless you're in certain parts of the country, it doesn't change that quickly. There are some parts, and I've been to a few of them, told by the local folks that if you hang around for 10 minutes, the weather will change five times. And I believe them only because they live there. So let's get the kids out and have them play. Play, play, play. Fun, fun, fun. And perhaps all the things, the side effect things, the mainstream ailments that we have. And you know what? Get away from all those commercials for medicine. What the heck is going on? You don't know what's going on with that stuff. We're bombarded with people selling drugs all night at primetime TV. Shut it off. Forget dinner. Go out for a walk. Come back. Have a cup of tea and an apple. And do some good. Go volunteer. Go do something for somebody else. You know why? When you do something good for somebody else, it makes you feel good about yourself. Help a neighbor. Volunteer. Do something for yourself, right? It makes you feel, and for others. Because in doing for others, you're doing it for yourself. I want to go back and talk about healthcare. It's something I introduced, I think, on the first show. And the fact that we are in crisis right now with the current situation. Again, a 10,000-page document that I don't know if anybody knows what is in there, except maybe the 1,000 or so clerks down in Washington who each read a couple of pages and get together and brainstorm what they've read in summary. But I can't keep up with a 10,000-page document. I can't even read a 200-page book. I need the condensed version. Give it to me simple, straight and simple. That's the way we like it. And that's the way my health care plan works. It's called the two-year health care plan. Two-year health. If it's good enough for those in leadership positions who we vote into office throughout the country in Washington, D.C., where they work and some live, as well as remote sites around the country, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us. Why not? The infrastructure's there. You have a good infrastructure, Medicare and Medicaid. I'm not old enough quite yet. I will be soon, and unless they raise the age limits again, to use that system. But apparently it works and it works well. And if we eliminate the bribes, graft, corruption, and fraud associated with maybe 20%, 30%, or more of the actual funding for it, then it's a very flush system with money. But we got to put the bad guys out of business. Give them a shot if they're dealing with the government. And when they mess up, hey, buddy, you're out. If you got to go away and pay restitution, you're going to do it, right? And not be allowed to participate in the plan again. So here's my plan. We have the infrastructure, as I said, Medicare and Medicaid. It probably needs some fine tuning, and I'm not that smart to do it, but I'm sure there are experts out there who are. And we probably need some 12 or 14-year-old math whiz on the computer to recalculate my numbers and come up with two or three different models for it. But I want to start with a population of about 300 million people in our country. Knock it in half to 150 million eligible people who can participate in our national lottery that's going to pay for national health care for all of us. And no, it's not nationalism, it's not socialism, it's not any ism. Forget that. If you're worried about that, go join a union or work for a big company that has a plan. That's as social as anybody else in limiting its membership. So this is open to everybody of age to play in the national lottery. Start at 21 years old. Figure there's 150 million people in that age group, 21 and higher. If we can change the law to make it legal to 18, if it isn't already, even better, more people eligible. The weekly bet is $10 per person. $10 per person, which is $520 a year per person. Multiply that times 150 million people, and you'll have a gross income of $78 billion. Right? We put in 15%, which is pretty high, for expenses, overhead and expenses. And that comes to about $11.7 billion. Which gives us a less than grossing, not quite net, but it gives us an income of $66.3 billion. Now, we guarantee a weekly payout of $25 million. Every week, we're giving away $25 million. Right? And that comes to a yearly payout of $1.3 billion. So our total first-year net income is $65 billion, after the expenses are paid and after the winnings are paid. Now, we can register online, right? Get a secure site. I would let the credit card companies do that because they seem to have pretty secure sites out there with their credit card. And I've just been witness to that personally, and they were very good in tracking my travels and shutting down the card when they thought I was traveling in multiple states in the same day, which I was, filling up at gas. Anyway, we can subscribe. Subscriptions can be for 1, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. You can get all the money up front so that $65 billion net first-year income can swell to trillions based on what people are willing to gamble. And as you know, gambling is a way of life here. They got casinos everywhere. And most people started out playing bingo in the church or fire hall in their local town many years ago. And we model it after many of the lotteries around the country. Pick six out of six numbers and maybe have 60 numbers from which to choose. And excuse me, we're giving away $25 million every week. So if one person wins it all, they get it. And if they don't, then subsequently the five out of six, the four out of six, the three, the two, and maybe you get a few bucks even if you have one out of it. Everything is just distributed in lump sum payouts with no discounts for taking cash. All winning prize money is tax-free. Yes, Uncle Sam, it's tax-free. Double-edged sword. You get health care, you get to participate in a national lottery, and when you win, it's tax-free. So a few wins, even with one or two numbers, will pay for your $520 that you registered with, if that's the minimum, and we also get health care for that. So all prize money is tax-free, and it's all prize money is distributed through electronic mail direct deposit. Sorry, post office, we're going to save on postage and not burden the post office with delivering checks. We're cutting the 21st century. We should take advantage of it. The National Lottery drawings are held on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m., right in the middle of the week, sort of like what's being advertised in commercials on TV. Hump week or hump day, we'll have a nice hump day, giving people a chance to win some money, put some money in their bank account, and provide them national health care. As it is with Medicare and Medicaid and all the good things about that. I said Medicare and Medicaid might have to be maneuvered a little bit and tuned, finely tuned, to create a great system, and hopefully we can eliminate waste, fraud, and corruption by implementing some effective and efficient business methods and procedures. Again, this is a simple plan, and I wanted to put it out there for everybody to digest and tell your friends who will tell your friends. And if we can reach some people of influence and import and power and connections, maybe, just maybe, we can do something that is by the people, of the people, and for the people, just as it is written in that great document from which we live our lives here in our country, how we were founded. This is not a Me Too plan. This is too simple for that. Of course, a Me Too plan, one just like everyone else, would be just like everyone else. This is too simple, and it'll work. It just has to be developed a little bit more, and the numbers have to be run a little bit more, and models have to be made, and implementation, not too bad. Simple, simple, simple. By the way, that total first-year income of $65 billion, which will proportionally grow based on the number of people subscribing for 1, 5, 10, 15, or 20 years, you invest that money at 2 to 3%, which is pretty conservative, and that money exponentially grows and grows and grows, and everybody's happy. The doctors and the nurses and the hospitals make money. Medicare and Medicaid is run efficiently. The people go to bed at night knowing they are protected and covered for whatever comes their way. And you never know what that's going to be, especially in an aging population. Everybody's body is going to fall apart in some capacity, right? You're going to need something. And knowing that you have it without having to go bankrupt or sell all your assets or pull your kids out of college or all those kinds of things or worry about your job because of the many people working out there just to get health benefits. But they're paying dearly. They're paying dearly. I don't know too many who are paying minimum. I'm sure there are some strong unions and groups out there. But what's a bigger group than the American people? Got 300 million people plus. There's no better group for that. It should be the greatest discount in the world. It's a locked-in business for people in the medical field. Let's go do it. It's simple. It's effective. Let's empower us, and we can do it. But we need some people in the right positions of power to make it all happen. Remember, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And it's not who know. It's not what we know about my health care plan, national health care, it's who knows about it. And the more of you out there listening who can make this thing grow by exposing it to all those in your world, professional and personal, whether it's on social media somewhere. Hey, I heard a good thing last night about healthcare. Listen to this guy on bbsradio.com. And it's a great plan. Simple, effective, and let's make it happen. You're listening to Marty Ford on You About Ready on bbsradio.com. If you want to call into the radio station, I have the number here somewhere. All I have to do is find it. And I will put it out there as 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Call in the radio station if you have something to say. Any comments you have on the health care plan, on the difference between men and women, on the brain buster, on the critical thinking, on the step test, on any of the topics we discuss here, especially empowerment. If you think you have something to contribute for to empower people, that's a great thing. Also, bullying. If you want to, we would like to hear some comments out there. Who's listening out there? Who's got something they want to say? We're open. Let's listen. We'll listen to you as much as you're listening to me. In fact, I'll listen more because we all have two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we talk. All right. Boom. Time. Time is a great gift. But when time is not your friend, you don't always win. When you get up late and you're not prepared for your day and you spill your coffee on your clothes and there's no gas in the car or you don't bring an umbrella to work and you get soaked and you're late and you get behind a school bus or any other traffic impediments, your day is ruined. Make time your friend. When time's your friend, you're in control. When you're in control, you win. Everything, and when you win, you feel good about yourself. Therefore, you are empowered to do it for help somebody else gain the same status and stature as you. Everything in here, what you hear on this radio, on my radio show, You About Ready, on bbsradio.com, everything is related. It's interwoven. It's It's not fragmented. Life is not like that, right? If your legs hurt, if your ankle hurts, your knee's going to hurt, your hip's going to hurt, your back's going to hurt, your shoulder's going to hurt, your neck's going to hurt. Take care of it all. When you put your car in the shop, just don't put it in to have the battery replaced. Put it in and have the guy check the whole electronic system, because you don't want to go back there with a bad taste in your mouth that he or she didn't do a good job, and now you're frustrated. You want to go and have everything checked out. It's like a physical for your car. Have it checked out. That's why inspections are good for cars. They check the tires, all the fluids, the alignments, and anything else that might need it. Belts and hoses and clamps, little things. You have a good person who knows what they're doing, keeps you on the road. Nothing wrong with that. So make time your friend. Give yourself time. Let the kids have time so they can play. They'll be better and more fun when they come home. You won't have the acting out behaviors. You won't have the sneaky, manipulative stuff. You'll always have that, but it won't be as profound. It might not be as much. They might feel good about themselves. For you, allowing them to feel good about themselves by giving them what they really need, even though they won't tell you, right? Sometimes they won't say, I need this, right? But you know that they do. Just like they need to eat healthy, to exercise regularly, to get sleep, to get an education, to have a social life, to be out of the house, to play, and to play some more, you need it too. So get up, get out, get going, and learn. Use the tools that you have in your world to fight the number one enemy of us all. And the number one enemy of us all is boredom. Because when you're bored, what are you doing? You're watching that flat screen TV, being brainwashed by everything you see on there, clicking around, saying, oh, my, that's bad. Isn't that horrible? Or listening to the same cliche spoken by educated celebrity, well-known hosts who just bombard you with the same stuff day after day after day until you actually believe it. You know, when you tell yourself a lie often enough, you believe it to be the truth. So what are you to believe out there? Who do you trust? Who can you believe? Has to start with you. Trust in your world. Trust in your environment. Trust in yourself. Become the strongest person you can. Become empowered. Learn something that you need to learn about whatever you need to do for yourself. Laugh. Laugh, 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 laugh. Be silly. Paint your face. Put on a costume. Splash in a pool. Ride a bike. It's just not for kids. You take your kids to enough of those events where they have fun and then come home and sit around and watch TV. So get out, get up, get out, get going. Retain a microscopic portion of your world that allows you to be a kid without interference, without ridicule, without complaints, without whining that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Don't worry about that. Their feelings will be fine if they feel good about themselves, if they're when they're empowered, and not let these distractions like bullying come into their world. Take charge. Be a little bit aggressive or assertive, whatever those words are from the 80s. But take care of yourself. Be the best and strongest person you can be. Get in shape, stay in shape, eat right, sleep right, work right, play, and play, and play some more. Find things to do. Certainly there's enough information out there on your smaller flat screen in your office or basement or your dining room where you get all your information, whether it's true or not. There's enough things for you to research to find to do within, let's say, half an hour, an hour's drive from where you live. Cultural things, fun things, sporting events, art, music, whatever it is you like to do. And you know what? Take somebody with you because they need it too. Give somebody a call because they're bored too. When you're bored, you're going down, right? People in recovery, they know it the best. Trying to recover from things that altered their life. Trying to get their stuff back together. When they're bored, they know they're going down. So they have They have a refuge. Maybe they can go to a meeting, a group, a club, an event, an activity, something to take away that idle time when they could easily slip back into a world from where they want to escape and never return because it's ugly and it's dirty. Well, the people in recovery are doing the same things that are the people not in recovery are doing the same things that people in recovery are trying to do. Live a healthy life. Have some positive supporting friends or a group of them doing healthy, positive things for fun, for activities, for adventure that are safe and nurturing and fun. Maybe they're playing. Join a group. Go swimming. Join the Y. Do something. Get the heck out of the house and away from the world that's bringing you down. Empower yourself. Think about the numbers that I put out there for national health care. Run them yourself. See if they make sense. And know that if they do, and they are, it's a viable business venture, do something for us all. I'm putting it out there to empower all of us. We just need people out there to make it happen. The people of influence, the people who can do things, the people who can make it happen. Excuse me, we need that. So there's a lot going on. We just talked a little bit about people in recovery, and they need help as much as anyone else. In fact, we all do. Nobody can do it by themselves. Find someone who says they can do it all by themselves, self-made person, they're a liar or a fool or both, and get them out of your life. They're going to bring you down rather than build you up, right? They're going to bring you down rather than build you up. My name is Marty Ford. You're listening to me on bbsradio.com. The name of the show is You Bout Ready. We talk about a ton of things out here. We touch on them. We go into a little bit of detail. We present some facts and information, a little bit of insight, maybe some knowledge. I'm getting to the point where all that knowledge and information is turning into wisdom, and maybe the younger people out there could say, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about, right? My kid's teacher has to buy school supplies. Why is that? I'm going to the next Board of Education meeting and ask him why. And I'm going to ask, where does the money go? My taxes. I know it goes to salaries and administration and buses and all that stuff and sports and so forth. But why is the teacher out of pocket? Let's probe a little. Ask questions. We have these news people on TV asking all these questions during a press conference. I saw it yesterday. I felt so bad for the doctor down in D.C. who runs the VA or the Navy hospital down there. They were asking her all these probing questions, getting her to say something that she knew nothing about, trying to maybe catch her in a mistake. So she has to come back today and say, well, yesterday I misspoke. Well, she wouldn't have misspoke, or he wouldn't have misspoke, if all these ridiculous questions, seeking information, every molecule of information, right now, I need it right now, tell me now, because I have people listening and watching when they should be out playing and doing something because they think they have nothing else to do. We have to fill these 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information that's all useless because it means nothing to us. Get away from that. All these reporters out there, and they work hard. Everybody works hard, especially the guy in a hurricane who's telling us to get in, stay out of the conditions while he's out there having his umbrella blown all over the place, hopefully surviving himself. These are all the folks. Love them all. God bless them. They do a great job. But I think they're all the kids from high school and college who loved doing term papers, especially back in the day when we didn't have internet and so forth. They loved digging and finding facts and putting it all together and presenting it and saying on page 3 what they introduced on page 1 and summarizing it on page 5, paraphrasing it on page 5 and summarizing it and concluding it on page 7, 8, 9, and 10 to have their 10-page double-spaced term paper written on topics that moth freckles. I don't know what they're writing about, right? So let's get away from that. We don't need to know all that stuff. Let the people take care of the people who need the help and let us move on with our lives. We don't need to see glaring lights and sirens and listening to the sirens and seeing hundreds and hundreds of responders out there in all capacities. We need to be taking care of ourselves. We need to have other things to talk about. Because how many times, I'll tell you what, our kids are away at school, so my wife and I are here, and it's good. You know, it was a week or two of an adjustment, but we're getting along fine, and we're doing things. We're out and about, and we don't have to worry about having dinner on them and taking the kids here and there. And so we had a family function the other night, and none of the grandchildren were there. None of our kids were there. And you know what? We almost had a strain to find something to talk about. And finally, someone broke the ice and said, well, how are your kids doing? We don't get there. Almost like the men on the bus stop who don't get there. They hide behind their paper. They have nothing to talk about. They don't want to let anybody in. Women will get there. And it's usually the women who will start the conversation and be the catalyst for that and put in things to stimulate and get thought going. But we don't get there. There's neighbors that we have who are in the same position. We are going to pursue them and say, hey, let's go to a movie. Let's go to a show. Let's go bowling, because bowling is doing. You're active. You're out there with people, right? You're not just sitting somewhere and looking at another large flat screen TV or movie theater. right? Watch them bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up, and paying $12 for a seat and $8 for a small popcorn that you really don't want, and only one size soda that you can't finish among all 4, 6, 8, or 20 of you, right? We don't need that. We, as people who are, let's say, with the kids away, we need to do stuff for ourselves to reconnect with people who we grew up with, because our lives, as maybe many of your lives out there, were spent centered and focused on the activities of their kids and their school, their teachers, their work, their futures. Well, they're set. They're on their way. They don't need us. Don't call them every day. Don't send them a goodie bag every day. Let them be kids learning how to live in life, to get along with people, and to take the things that are going to come their way, both good and sometimes not so good, because you got to learn from it all. So we're going to do that. That's a goal that we have. What do you have for a goal this week, right? What do you have for a goal this week? To get up, to get out, to get going, to do something about the weight condition that you have right now? You want to lose 5, 10, 15, 40, 60, 80 pounds? You don't need pills or powders or potions or anything. You need to do something. You need to check with your doctor, tell him what you're doing, get some comfortable clothes, and get the heck out of house and take a walk. You're not climbing mountains. You're not swimming marathons. You're not running marathons. You're taking a walk for half an hour around the neighborhood. Get to see some people. You'll be surprised. Your 30-minute walk could turn into an hour. Why? Because you'll see somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, and you'll play catch-up. They'll ask you, how you doing? That's great. They're showing some concern. And you, in turn, will reciprocate by doing the same thing. Nothing wrong with that. Get up, get out, get going. The name of the book is G-Verb. Get up, get out, get going. The other book is Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All. And my other book is Power Up Your Power. If anybody has somebody who can empower me and send a publisher my way, my email address is hamp73@gmail.com. 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 A little help from the friends out there in Radio Land, whoever you are, wherever you are, as far as getting my books published. Because, again, simple messages coming from a simple people, a person. And that's why people get along with me so well. They like the simple things in life, and I am the personification of simple. That's our show for tonight. This is Marty Ford on bbsradio.com. Power up your power, because the power is in you.